Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Today, the Age of Heroes has dawned and the Elysium Project proceeds, and I'm proud to bring you The Art of Healing with Kak Young. But first, we're going to listen to If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
That was If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley, and now The Art of Healing with Kak Young. Greetings and welcome, Kak. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much, Hercules. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, and I'm looking forward to your show tonight. Your guest is here.
Wonderful. Well, I think we're going to have a really fun time tonight. We're calling this special show Kak Chat. So we might as well get started. My guest tonight is Melanie Wagner. She is the Dean of Students at the Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats in Los Angeles. And let me tell you about her. She came to us from the Zoological Gardens in Buffalo, New York, and she earned a PhD from Antioch University that was focused on the important relationship between pets and people, also the nonprofit organizations that support these relationships. And in 2018, Melanie joined Kitty Bungalow as the executive director, and it's pretty sure, according to Melanie, that this is her dream job. So she has four cats, two of whom are graduates of the Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats. So without further ado, welcome Melanie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, it's just so great that you were able to do this. Thank you so much. Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats is a fabulous name. Melanie, how was that organization named, and who named it, and tell us about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's honestly, it's one of the things that drew me to being like, oh my gosh, I want to work at Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats, because it is just an incredibly fun place with an incredibly fun name. We were started in 2010, and Kitty Bungalow was started as a grassroots organization in the backyard of our founder's house. She basically realized there was a large feral cat problem in South LA and just said, all right, well, we're going to start trapping and fixing. That's what we're going to do. And over the years, because the need is so great and the name is so fun, Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats has just kind of grown and grown and grown. And in 2017, we outgrew the founder's bungalow in her backyard and purchased our own little property in the heart of South LA, which is where we reside today.
And it's a fabulous little bungalow. It's very wonderful, and all the bricks outside the bungalow have been named for donors who choose a brick and pay for it, and they can pave the way for wayward cats.
It's our catwalk. Yep.
It's your catwalk. Of course it is. Of course. Now, Melanie, besides the fun name here, what does the organization actually do for feral cats and with the feral cats?
Sure, absolutely. We like I had mentioned before, we started out as a community cat-focused organization. Sorry.
Hang on one second. I think you're breaking up a little bit. Let me check with Hercules. Hercules, is she breaking up?
Yes, she's breaking up with her line.
Okay, so
I have taken you off speaker. Is that better?
Yes, much better. Please do that. Okay,
great.
All right, let's go back then. Tell us what the organization does.
Sure. We predominantly focus on TNR, which we'll, I'm sure, talk about at some point, but it stands for Trap, Neuter, Return, where we provide services for community cats. And community cats are basically the cats that live outside, right? When you go outside and you see that neighboring cat that's hanging out and it looks healthy and robust and probably has 7 homes and sleeps in a different neighbor's house every night, those are the cats we want to help. Some of them are friendly. Some of them are feral and prefer to be away from humans. But we help them by getting them fixed and provide community, basically free community spay and neuter for them. But the kittens who are born on the streets may not have those kind of street savvy resources that the adult cats do at that point. And we intake them into our facility, socialize them, which just means providing a positive experience for the kittens. Most of them are a bit fearful of humans. They don't understand us, you know, lots of adorable hissing. But we use positive reinforcement. So lots of treats and toys and just really wonderful interactions with those kittens so that they learn to trust humans. And then we adopt them out into their forever homes.
Okay, so now when you trap them, let's take TNR apart a little bit. So T stands for trap. Now what does that mean?
Yes, so trap means that we use a humane trap. I know trap is scary. It's kind of a scary word. We use a humane trap. We prefer to use traps that are called true catch. They're lightweight. They're quieter, so when the door shuts behind the kitty, it doesn't snap really loud and scare them. And they, you know, are spacious enough for kitties to hang out in for a little bit of time. So the trap is just basically where we load a trap with yummy, good food, and the cats kind of go, hey, Huda, look at that. And they walk in, and the door shuts behind them. And we have them in a nice, spacious trap that they hopefully don't stay in too long. It's usually a day, maybe a day and a half. And that's that. That's the trap.
Okay, so you've trapped them. Now, the trap is out, I understand, like in their hood somewhere, and they get into the trap.
So we
now
go into the community. Yep.
Yes. And then what do you do with the trap then? Once you have a cat in it, what do you do? And how often do you check it?
Oh, well, we never leave the trap side. So when you put a trap down, you don't ever leave it. You can walk away from it so you're not hovering and the kitties are more inclined to go in, but we never leave it unattended. Lots of reasons. One, you don't want a cat to accidentally get injured and then not notice. You don't want to catch wildlife and leave them in there. Sometimes those sneaky possums and raccoons and skunks will wander in instead. So you trust me, you don't want to sneak up on a trapped skunk. It's just, it's not pleasant. So,
oh no.
We never leave our traps, but once the kitties are trapped, we place a nice little trap cover over them. So they're not looking at the scary environment, keeps it nice and dark and quiet for them. And we, take them to our veterinary service provider and have them fixed, which is the next part in TNR, which is the neuter, the N. And they're either neutered or spayed. Neuter is for male, spayed is for female, which just means they obviously can't reproduce and have babies anymore or make babies. And they also get vaccines, the necessary vaccines and age-appropriate vaccines, so FERCP, rabies. They're also provided with flea medication, and they get an ear tip, which is kind of the cool part of TNR. They do take a small part of the left ear, so the little tip of the ear comes off while they're under their anesthesia. And that is an identifier for us that when we go out into the community, if we see that ear tip, we know that that cat has already been fixed. So we don't have to stress them out again. We don't need to retrap them and sedate them to look for a tattoo. We know they've been fixed. So that's what they receive at the vet. And then once they recover, they come back to Kitty Bungalow and they stay with us for a little bit. We want to make sure that they come out of anesthesia okay before their community members pick them back up. And once they come out of anesthesia okay, they are returned to their community.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Which is
now,
the
what if you find a problem with a cat? What if there is another medical issue, let's say, with the cat? What happens?
Yes, we treat what we can treat. So I can actually give you a wonderful example. We recently trapped a cat who had what's called a degloved tail. I won't go into the details, but it's painful. It was on the tip of her tail, and it would never have healed itself. So she stayed with us. And we kept her comfortable at Kitty Bungalow. A couple of days later, we took her to the vet. We had the tip of her tail removed. It's the best thing for her. She stayed with us during that healing time. And actually, I believe she is heading home tomorrow to her community. And they are all very excited to have her back. So she is healthy and healed and will not be in pain anymore. We also had recently a cat that went in with spayed. And there was a lump on her liver. And while they were in there, they removed that lump. We held on to her for about 2 weeks while she healed from surgery and then released her back to her community partner. So we absolutely do everything we can. If there are medical issues, we treat them. We believe that community cats deserve the same kind of treatment and medical care. Just so they're
and
outside
how
doesn't mean
many...
they should suffer.
Right. And how many do you actually trap, neuter, and return per year?
Yeah. This year, we are already at 2,500 and counting.
Wow.
Yep. Just to put it into perspective, in
2,500.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. We in 2018 when I started, we were at about 700 a year, and now we're doing a little more than 2,500 a year. So.
Well, that's incredible. Now, what if a cat comes in and you absolutely fall in love with it and it wants to stay at Kitty Bungalow? How do you know, and what do you do with that then?
Well, we fall in love with them all, right? We have a system on how we select. So kittens who are under 4 months old come into our socialization program. So if they're outdoor cats, right, they don't need to go back to the streets. We bring them in. We get them adopted. In anything older than that is kind of a conversation with what we call our community partners. And I think this is always a challenge because it's all of us who see outdoor cats, right? We think, oh, my gosh, that cat should probably live in a home in a bed. And there's a good chance, like I mentioned before, that cat probably has like 7 beds somewhere in the community. And so what Kitty Bungalow really, really believes in is not stealing cats from people. It's incredibly important to us. So when we have, say, an adult cat who is really friendly and wonderful and we fall in love, we have an open and honest discussion with the caretakers of that cat. If they would like us to try to find a home, or if the neighborhood is not safe, like maybe they don't have a caretaker and it's just a alley somewhere and no one's caring for them, then we would intake them. But if we know that they have caretakers, we make sure that we have a conversation with them. And we do our best to give those cats back to people, even when we do fall in love with them. Because, you know, as you know, people love their cats.
they have an
attachment to their cats.
They do.
So
now, I was just,
every situation is different.
I was just reading on your website, on your newsletter today, about the story of the cats with the bird names. Will you tell us that story? Tell us about the bird cats.
Absolutely. And I think that this is actually a great example of what I was just talking about, is we went to do a TNR, and it was a really large TNR. I mean, it was something like 40 cats in the backyard of this family's home. And now it all started innocently, right? This family loved these cats, provided for them. These cats have shelter and compassion and food, and the kids pick these cats up, and it was everything, right? Everything that the cats could dream of. They have this amazing life, except for being spayed and neutered. And so there just got to be a few too many. And in colonies that big, as once illness starts to kind of kick in, it spreads. So we went out, we sent our team out, we helped this family, we TNR'd the adult cats and put them back in the community. And we had to intake 13 kittens from that property, which means that they were, about 2.5 months old. And they came to us and they had a thing. Ringworm like I've never seen it. Huge patches of missing hair, Khaleesi virus and feline coronavirus. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on a podcast, but very intense diarrhea that just never wanted to go away. It was just a medical nightmare, to be honest. I don't think I've ever seen that many kittens come in all at once with just this one after another illness. But we treated them. We've had them for months and months, and actually they all just recently went home, were adopted. We have one left who is still finishing her ringworm treatment, and she actually has an adopter waiting in the wings. So,
wow, that's
kind of a win-win
for everyone. Tell me about the names. What did you name them?
Oh, they were our North American bird litter. So it was like quail and wren and finch. And we had egret and sparrow and lark and robin and oriole and pigeon and chickadee. I'm trying to remember who I left out. Heron and cardinal. Oh, and crow. I'm trying to remember them all.
Well, they were all absolutely adorable. And I loved how you did the before and after makeover pictures, because when you looked
Thank
at the
you.
Before, you said, that is one bedraggled kitten. How is that ever going to heal? And then the healed picture was this perky, sweet, little, happy, smiling
yeah.
little kitten. It was just an amazing transformation that you all did.
Thank you. Thank you. We're very proud of that. And I think it is kind of that full circle, right? We got to help community members keep their cats that they love, but we also got to, kind of pare down that large colony, intake the kittens that we could, socialize them, get them medically healthy, and send them on their way.
So I picture then that you've got volunteers in these Sherlock Holmes outfits with a magnifying glass looking in through the neighborhood for feral cats. So that's my picture. I know it's wrong. So tell me how you actually go through the community and how you find your suspects.
Absolutely. We really encourage community members. So we have an application process. We are constantly reaching out to our South LA community, whether we are doing canvassing in neighborhoods. Sometimes we send out teams that canvass where we know there's a large kitten population coming from. We work with our local shelter and sit outside of the South LA city shelter and intercept people who are showing up inquiring about wanting to, you know, turn in community cats, and we educate them about TNR and go out and help them fix all of their kitties. So we encourage our community members to reach out to us, and then they basically, because honestly, the community members are the eyes and ears. You know, we're a small group and we do a lot, but I can't have my eyes on every corner of South LA. So we really love to empower our community to look around and say, hey, how can I help the cats in my neighborhood? And then we provide all those free services and make it easy for the community to provide help for those cats. So we basically have them be our eyes and ears. They fill out an application, and if they have, you know, a handful of cats they want to trap, we lend them free traps and teach them how to do it themselves. And if they have large colonies, or if they're not able-bodied, or maybe they're elderly, or maybe they don't have transportation, we send our staff and volunteers out to help and send a team out to trap these large groups of cats. And then we also work with our independent rescuers, who are these amazing people in the community that just do TNR because they want to. So they basically function like nonprofits, but they don't have nonprofit status. So it's just individuals doing a lot of work, and we work with them too.
And do you train the TNR volunteers?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep,
I think
that's
really...
We train our TNR volunteers and staff.
Yeah, a good, you know, it's great to be able to train community members how to actually trap the cats humanely, and then, you know, bring them in for vet care and neutering.
Yeah, so we kind of redefined our concept of volunteers, where it's not just, you know, us having one or two or three TNR volunteers. It is this concept of teaching the community that they too can be kitty bungalow volunteers and help us trap. And the really cool thing that's happened is that people kind of get the bug to do it, right? They do it once, and then they're like, wow, this was great. I did something really wonderful for the cats in my neighborhood. And then they tell their neighbors and they tell their friends. And then we have this whole slew of people who then not only TNR in their communities, but then volunteer to TNR in other people's. So it kind of is a domino effect.
Yeah, well, I have met in my lifetime, I've written a few books about cats, and I have met in my lifetime some really dedicated TNR people, and
yes,
they are really unique and fascinating and generous and kind and just,
yes,
so positively motivated that it's just, you know, heart-inspiring to talk to them. So now, you know, none of the vet stuff can't be free. So Kitty Bungalow has to also be raising funds to support your incredibly generous cat-saving activities. How do you do that? Where do you go? What do you do? And how could people help you?
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, you're not wrong. Gold medical care is not free, and it is probably one of our largest expenses. Anything from the basic kitty cold all the way up to lots of broken bones, lots of, you know, enucleations where we have to take out an eye, to be honest. Very common things we see in cat rescue. But, you know, every kitten and cat is worth helping and saving. And we do everything we can through grant writing and fundraising. So we fundraise by having several events throughout the year. We collect donations, so we can do private and donations from people as well, just by visiting our website. We can collect it through PayPal, Venmo, like I said, via our website. We have lots of different ways. And, you know, if people can't give monetarily, there's even little things that you can do, like join Amazon Smile and select Kitty Bungalow as your, you know, nonprofit of choice. Or if you're in LA and you shop at Ralph's, we have You can go grocery shopping and select Kitty Bungalow as your charity of choice, and we get funding back from it. So there's even just these little things that you can do to help raise money for Kitty Bungalow, because every cent counts. Every cent.
Yes, and it sometimes can be a little difficult, but what you do is you type in your browser, you type in Amazon Smile, it'll take you there, and then you have to select your charity that you want the percentage to go to, and Amazon pays that, and that can be a little tricky, but you just, you know, stick with it and scroll on down till you find Kitty Bungalow, and then click on that. I know that, you know, my Amazon purchases now go to Kitty Bungalow, and I hope that a lot of people will do that as well, because it's just a, you know, it's an easy way with no cost to the donor, and then Amazon gets involved and gives you money, which is really what you need.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, I want to talk a moment about the chart of cats, an unspayed cat, an unspayed female, an unneutered male, and how many cats they can produce in their lifetime. I don't know, Melanie, if you want to take that or we'll do it together, but the chart is absolutely staggering when you look at it, how many other kittens a cat can provide.
Now, I've seen many iterations of this chart in my 20 years in rescue, for dogs, for cats. I've seen lots of different versions of it. What the one that I'm looking at now, that I'm assuming, you know, your listeners would love us to kind of describe, is it says that if an unspayed female cat has 2 litters a year, and each of those litters has an average of 2.8 surviving kittens, in year one, that mama and her offspring can produce 12 kittens. Now, assuming that the 2.8 kittens are not fixed, in year two, you now have 67 kittens. Assuming, again, that 2.8 are not fixed, right? Year three is 376. And as we go, we're looking down at 9 years, you're looking at 11 million kittens.
So 11 million kittens from,
yes,
you know, a female cat that is unspayed, if all of her progeny is also unspayed, 11 million kittens from one cat. So that's why the work you do is so needed all over the world, because what happens to them is that when they get out of control, I mean, 11 million cats in your district in South L.A., that's overrun. 9 years, 11 million cats from just one cat. Imagine all the other cats. And then people don't know what to do with them, and then, you know, some negative actions step in, and these cats did not have to be born to lose their lives this way if they can be controlled. And that's why the work you do and the work of other rescues is so important.
Well, thank you. Yeah, if we look at even just our numbers of 2,500 TNRs, if we assume 50% are female, if we follow this chart, that's around 15,000 kittens just in South LA that Kitty Bungalow has, 15,000 unwanted kittens that we have prevented from being born just in South LA this year.
Yes. And I think, you know, and then when you see it in black and white like this, when you see it that way and you hear, you know, one cat unspayed 9 years later can have 12 million cats, and cats can live to be 15, 16, 17, 18, 20. I had a cat once that lived to be 24. So,
and they can start
reproducing
at 6 months.
Yes, and if I had spayed her, for example, I'd have 24 million cats. So I don't have room for that.
I mean, listen, in a dream world, that sounds lovely, but in reality, not so much.
Not so much, and it's expensive. I mean, you can't feed them all, you know, top-of-the-line food when you have 24 million. So, yeah, we want to definitely start to stop that.
A lot of food.
So, all right. So what do you want for next year? And we're coming at the end of this year. The pandemic has created, according to all my other cat-loving friends, the pandemic has created big problems for all the rescues around. Talk to us about that and talk to us about moving forward.
So, you know, the pandemic was definitely a challenge. Especially for those of us who had brick-and-mortar facilities where we're used to, you know, 100 volunteers coming on site every week and staff working in tight office spaces and, you know, having our cat populations on site, we really had to ramp up our foster program. So that was an interesting challenge for us. We always had fostering, but this was, we really had to kind of flip the script a little bit and change the way we did things. And so first and foremost, I just have to say that fosters are, they're literal lifesavers, We would not be able to manage the populations that we manage and have the number of kittens in our care if it weren't for these incredible foster families. And it's not just fostering cute, adorable, healthy kittens, right? It's fosters that are willing to take on the challenges and take on sick kittens and help us transport them to the vet. And so for us, one of the biggest challenges was just kind of saying, okay, well, we don't have as much help on site anymore, and we can't because we want to keep everyone safe. So we have to send our kitties out to foster. And that's just an invaluable way for anyone to give back to a rescue. If you can't donate money, right, you donate your time. And donating your time through fostering, and now that we're kind of slowly getting back into normal, obviously volunteering on site as well, but fostering is literal life-saving. And I say this as from a rescue perspective, like from whoever is listening, whatever town you're in, whatever city you're in, there is a rescue somewhere that would love for you to foster. And it is a great way to give back. So, you know, as far as the years ahead, we're very excited about some of these prospects that we have. We're slowly looking at bringing a medical unit on to Kitty Bungalow, like on site at Kitty Bungalow. So maybe we in the future we'd be able to handle some of our own surgeries and really increase the number of TNRs that we're doing. We're always looking for, you know, monetary donations, especially to be able to cover some of those large surgeries that we do. I mean, forever and always, we will see sick kittens and we will see injured kittens with broken legs who need things amputated. This is a constant in kitten rescue. So, you know, as far as people helping, it really is, it's either, you know, give donations and any, a donation can be anything. I know we just talked about that, but it's even when you look at your old towels that you're going to throw away, donate them to a rescue. That gives back. Every kitty needs towels. They need beds. They need something comfortable to sleep on. There's a lot of ways. And our website does say and give a lot of different ideas on how you can donate and gives you a lot of opportunities to, you know, to share what you can. I also would just love to say, if I have like half a second, would be that also – what we love are the people who really think outside looks for volunteering. So we have someone who does maintenance, and he donates his time making sure that our building is always in tip-top shape. And we have an artist who comes in and donates her time. I'm sure you've seen our rooms at Kitty Bungalow. Those don't paint themselves, our cute little kitten rooms. We have an amazing volunteer that comes in and hand paints them every year. So these, when you are a person who thinks, how can I help at a rescue? Think about the skills you have. Maybe you do IT and they need help with computers, web design, logo design. I can name a million things. And people have such amazing skill sets that you don't always equate to giving back to rescue. But I really encourage people to reach out to either Kitty Bungalow or their local rescue with those talents that they have. And I promise you rescues can use them.
Well, that is fantastic, and those are great ideas, and I hope people follow up. I think that's, you know, incredible. You think about donating things or food or, you know, baby formula, but this is excellent, too. You need other skills as well. Well, of course you do, because it's a place. Yep. Now, can people just drop off cats to you and say, here, take these cats?
No, they cannot. We do not do public intake. So what we do is we get all of our kittens from TNR. So if somebody finds a kitten in South LA, what we do is say, please sign up for TNR, because if there is a litter of kittens, there will be another litter of kittens. If they are willing to TNR in their neighborhood, we will intake those kittens for them, because we can't take in every kitten. LA is big. But we do, like I said, we do encourage TNR. And then we work specifically with our local city shelters. So if cats and kittens are dropped off there, we do pull from the shelter as well. So we watch the euthanasia lists and help the shelters not have to euthanize by pulling kittens and cats. So that's where most of our kittens and cats come in. Yeah.
Right. Is and you save cats from the, you know, that red flag at the high kill shelters, I understand. So
correct.
That you save lives all the time. So now people can also, if they want to, they can leave Kitty Bungalow or their local rescue in their will. They can leave money to cat rescues in their will so you guys can continue your work. Is that correct?
Yes. Absolutely. And if anyone, for us specifically, that program is not quite up on our website yet, but if anyone has an interest in doing that, there are two ways. You can either email donations@kittybungalow.org, and we can kind of walk you through the process. There's also a program called Free Will that is literally that. People can make free wills online, and you can select Kitty Bungalow as your beneficiary.
Okay, that's really wonderful. All right, now, talk to me about fosters. Now, let's say I'm listening and I go, ooh, I could help that way. I could foster. How do you go about that? How do you apply? How are people screened? Give me the overview on that whole process.
Absolutely. It's actually pretty easy. Go to our website. There's a very quick application process that just tells us a little bit about you, about what you're interested in. I mean, there's so many different types of cats and kittens, right, from behavior to medical, kitten to adults, mamas and babies. So we want to know what your home is like so that we can make sure we match make that foster and, you know, foster and cat-kitten relationship the best way that we can. We want everything to be successful. So we fill out this quick application, and basically our life-saving director, she manages all of our population at Kitty Bungalow. You get a individual and personalized call from her, and she basically just walks through what you're looking for, what you're able to do, and screens all of our fosters, and then does a wonderful job in our database kind of assigning attributes to people so that we can match make kittens as best as we possibly can. So we have lots of different groups of fosters, bottle baby fosters, feral moms and baby fosters, you know, all kinds.
So if I have pets, if I already have dogs or if I already have cats, are my pets going to be endangered if I foster a kitten?
No. So what we do is we recommend that any cat or kitten that comes into our care, and we do it at our facility as well, is isolated from other animals. I mean, their own litter is okay, but any other new animal, there's an isolation period of 2 weeks. To make sure that they don't have anything contagious that they could bring into your pets at home. And so that's even something of like, you can set kittens up in a bathroom, a spare room. You know, there's lots of different creative ways to find a nice little space to just put a couple kittens for a couple of weeks. And then once they're medically cleared, they can then interact with your own pets.
Aha. Okay, so there's a whole system in place, and I imagine if there were any problems that the foster could call Kitty Bungalow and get some advice or help or whatever they need.
We provide all of the medical care that they need, so if anything goes wrong, we take care of it. We also provide all of the supplies, so food,
litter box, toys, scooper, bowls, towels, whatever you need. Heating pads, anything that they need, Kitty Bungalow provides, which is another reason why those donations are so important. Because like I said before, fostering is literally life-saving.
Well, and right now, if people wanted to go onto Chewy, the pet food place, they will, if you order something for Kitty Bungalow off of your wish list, the Kitty Bungalow wish list, then Chewy will match that in like kind. So it's kind of like a double whammy. I know I just
did
that the other day. And it's real easy. It's real easy. You know, you can
yeah.
sign up and help in so many ways. I mean, who wouldn't like to have, you know, $2 worth of stuff for every dollar you spend? So that's pretty amazing. To be able to do.
It is. They're a really wonderful company, and they do a lot of great support services for rescues.
That's great. Well, as you know, I mean, you know, in truth and disclosure here, I am an adoptor of a Kitty Bungalow graduate.
Sweet Spirit.
Yeah, Spirit is his name, and he was a feral that you
yep.
trapped and neutered, and I picked him up on January 6th. So coming into Los Angeles on January 6th of last year, it was a very a very active day, because as we put him in the car, in his container, 13 cop cars drove by. I guess they were anticipating some kind of a demonstration here because of what was going on in the Capitol. So we picked him up on a very active day, drove him home, and then he was an athlete. Let's just leave it there. He was quite an athlete, and we kept him in the bathroom. So much so that, you know, he's written his own book, and all the proceeds of his book go to benefit Kitty Bungalow, because he's eternally grateful for being rescued, and, you know, as we are. So if you want to, again, support Kitty Bungalow, you can go find this book. It's called My First Autobiography by Spirit the Cat, and it's on Amazon. My First Autobiography by Spirit the Cat. It's on Amazon, and all the proceeds go to benefit Kitty Bungalow. So, you know, he's hoping to win the Pulitzer Prize. I don't know if he's going to do that.
Pulitzer Prize.
The Pulitzer
Prize,
of course, the Pulitzer, yes, and he's working on his second autobiography now, and he certainly is a festive gentleman, I can tell you that, and he's a graduate. So I think, you know, any moment now, I think we're going to have
Doug
Stone join us. He is one of your volunteers, and he was very helpful to us in acquiring the rights to Spirit the Cat. And so I just want to give you the last word here. He's going to come on in a few minutes, and if you'll stay on the line with us, that would be great. But, you know, wrap it up, Mel.
Let him in.
So Melanie, you have a few minutes here. Go ahead and, you know, and tell us what your hopes are, how people can help, and everything about how to contact you. Go ahead and do your commercial.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not much of a salesperson. I feel like the kitties tend to sell themselves. But I, you know, I just want to say that, you know, if you're interested in helping Kitty Bungalow, www.kittybungalow.org. You can find everything you need to know about us on our website, all of the emails you can contact. There's applications for adoption, for fostering, for volunteering, easy click of the button, donations to be made, our wish access to our wish lists, instructions about Amazon Smile. All of that stuff is found there. And I do just want to say that for those of you who aren't in LA and have local rescues near you, everything that I've kind of said about all of this, rescues need people. We need people who care about the cats and provide those services of fostering, volunteering, rescuing. So if you're not going to, you know, if you're not going to donate to Kitty Bungalow, that's okay too. But, you know, if you can help any of your local cat or dog rescues, it's always much appreciated. So just want to thank everybody for listening and loving cats like the rest of us do.
Well, and speaking of wonderful volunteers, please let us welcome Doug Stone. He is a volunteer at Kitty Bungalow, as well as a working voiceover actor in television and film. And he's come here tonight to tell us what it's like helping cats and kittens make a new life for themselves. Welcome, Doug.
Hi there. How are you doing?
We're doing real good, and thank you for joining us.
I want to know how
somebody in the busy film and television industry has time for cats. How did you become involved with Kitty Bungalow?
Well, I not only volunteer with Kitty Bungalow, actually I sit on the board as well. Well, in the world of voiceover that has been my mainstay, I also used to direct and cast and even do production. And as the years went by, I said, I'm going to stop doing all of that as I'm getting older, and I'm just going to go back to being an actor, which I did. And suddenly I didn't have 18-hour days anymore. I would go do a voiceover job and come home and relax. I went, well, I've got all this extra time. I had done a little bit of volunteer work years back when my career was starting in L.A., and I thought I'd like to get re-involved with cat volunteering again because I have cats and I love them. And I could not find a place. This was 2012. And I also used to make part of my living in comedy. And a gentleman who's now passed away, Fred Willard, who was in all the Christopher Guest films, as I was searching for a cat rescue, I happened to get an email saying, Fred Willard is doing a fundraiser he's hosting for a place called Kitty Bungalow Charm School for Wayward Cats. I went, well, boy, I like that name, and that's interesting. So I looked them up, investigated, went to a little meeting at what was then somebody's, our founder's backyard, and ended up volunteering 2 days a week socializing the kitties, and then got more and more involved. It was a tiny organization, so because I had business experience, I took on some other duties without charging them of volunteer coordination, and I was doing TNR on my own sometimes, just lots of different things because obviously every animal shelter needs so many different things done. And on it went, and I've been with the organization since then. And as Melanie came on board and did such a marvelous job of getting a permanent staff in place, and as we've grown, I was able to pull back from my other duties like volunteer coordinating, et cetera, and instead became a board member. And I now do fundraisers. We have several board members who do that, and I run two different fundraisers every year to help Kitty Bungalow.
Fantastic. Well, how many hours per week do you spend caring for the kitties?
Well, because of the pandemic, I'm not there as often. Before that, I was there for two shifts a week, two and a half hour shifts a week. With the kitties. I used to go on Tuesdays and Fridays. Unfortunately, after the pandemic began, as Melanie was saying, we can't have or couldn't have people on site as much. So now I'm just doing one shift a week at our charter location, our charter school, which is at NKLA. The difference there is that I'm only interacting with cats and I'm not interacting with people, which is what I kind of have to beware of. I have a bad autoimmune system, so I've got to be super cautious. So I don't get to go to the main building as much as I did for years and years, but I'm certainly hoping when this COVID thing finally ends, I can get back over there again because it's the kitties and it's the people. I've met such wonderful people there, and I like bringing cookies and being Uncle Doug, and it's so gratifying at my age to meet these young people, 20 years old, who everybody sort of dumps on young people these days. Well, I get to meet the most marvelous young people you've ever met in your life, who are compassionate and hardworking and focused and love animals and give of themselves and give of their time. So it's wonderful on many levels.
I was just going to ask you what you love most about your volunteer work, and you know, you've answered that so beautifully. It's the people and the pets. I think you have a story, though, you can tell us about a kitten named Ash.
Oh, well, yeah, there's two things. I mean, what I love is seeing kittens get turned around who were scared and frightened and unhealthy and see that change. And also, I love bottle feeding babies. Maybe it's because I'm a guy and it's just like an amazing life-affirming experience. But a little Ash was a kitten that came to Kitty Bungalow with his siblings and unfortunately had something called FIP. FIP is really deadly in cats, particularly kittens. I may not pronounce this correctly. Feline infectious peritonitis, I think is how it's pronounced.
Yep.
And I was bottle feeding little Ash, and he seemed to really like me, and he'd cuddle up to me. He's just a newborn baby with no mama. And I'd be bottle feeding him, and I don't know. I felt like I really bonded with the little guy. And then we got the FIP. We found out about the FIP, and we could not afford it. It's very expensive, and there's only experimental drugs to treat FIP. It's really considered, in most cases, untreatable. And so the kittens, to avoid suffering, one of them had already passed, to make sure that they weren't going to suffer and slowly pass away, they were going to be euthanized. And I couldn't deal with it. I was up at night. I just couldn't deal with it. So I contacted Melanie and I said, I can't pay for all of them, but I will pay for Ash's treatment with the experimental drug. I know it may not work, but I'll pay the money and let's do it. So, of course, they were very happy. And, you know, we contacted the vet who had the whole litter and was going to handle the euthanasia for the kittens. Well, the vet staff got very excited to hear what was happening, and they went to their boss, bless his heart, and they said, look, somebody's sponsoring Ash. Couldn't we sponsor the rest of the kittens? And bless his heart, he said, okay. We'll pay for the rest of them from the veterinary clinic. So all the kittens got the medication, and all the kittens survived.
Oh, fantastic.
The drug worked. And little Ash, as it turns out, he was being fostered by one of our volunteers who has health issues, bless her, but is, you know, just wonderful with kitties. And she said Ash turned out to be sort of her caretaker. It turned out his personality is such that he's kind of, he would welcome new kittens into the house. And if she wasn't feeling well, he'd be the kitten who'd come over and sit on her and groom her and kind of comfort her. And he just has this huge heart. He's just a loving little gentleman. And he ended up getting volunteered by a lovely couple. These two young ladies who were at USC adopted him, and they love him to death. So he's leading a very happy life, and he's just a lovely little man. So there's that satisfaction that I got of literally being able to save a life. And you could do it like that way, or you could do it, as Melanie said, by just making tiny donations or coming in and volunteering and bottle feeding a baby, which I can tell you is there's nothing that compares to it. Having a little critter that you can fit in the palm of your hand, and you're testing the milk on your wrist and giving it a couple of drops at a time, and it's clinging to you like you're its mama. You know, it's an amazing and empowering feeling, and very gratifying.
Did you meet Spirit when he was at Kitty Bungalow?
I believe I did meet Spirit, yes. And he, you know, I don't know how much of this you'll believe, but I think he said to me, he kind of expressed wishes as to what kind of a person he wanted to have adopted. I hadn't told you that. But anyway, I think the fit turned out very well.
Well, as you were speaking, he just broke his way into the office here. He didn't want to be left out of this interview at all.
Maybe he remembers my voice. I don't know.
He may, yes, for sure. He planned it. I have no doubt about that. So, Doug, if you had millions of dollars, if you just had this unlimited supply of cash, what would you do for cats? What's your dream?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first off, I'd fund Kitty Bungalow, ad infinitum for the rest of its life. I would fund Kitty Bungalow. I'd get us a brand new big building. I'd get us a vet who was on site so that we could do surgery right there and there was no delay. I'd just make Kitty Bungalow huge because we have such a marvelous staff and Melanie does such a great job. I think, you know, we could be 10 times the size and do 20 times the amount of work. And I would want to send the medications around the world. I'm so blessed that thanks to the internet, in touch with rescuers from all around the planet. I have friends in Egypt and friends in England and friends everywhere who are involved in rescue work. Wonderful people that I've met. And I I'd love to give, if I had that much money, I'd be sending money monthly to probably thousands of different rescues who are doing marvelous work. As Melanie says, and I totally agree with it, it's not just about Kitty Bungalow for us. As you know, you and I have a mutual friend in New York who's in dog rescue, and a lovely lady, and just any rescuers I love and support. And if I had that kind of money, that's what I'd be doing, is helping all of them to continue that kind of work, that compassionate work that they do.
Well, it's just amazing what Kitty Bungalow does and whatever. And maybe you could make it Kitty Mansion Charm School for wayward cats if you had a bunch of money. I love it. Well, we're going to wrap this time up. I want to thank Melanie Wagner for coming on, Dean of Students at Kitty Bungalow, Doug Stone, volunteer extraordinaire at Kitty Bungalow. And I'm just going to recap here that people can find you at www.kittybungalow.org, O-R-G, and they can sign up to donate, of course. They can sign up to adopt. They can foster. They can do just about anything they want to help cats and kittens, especially after the pandemic, which created a lot of challenges for cats on the streets. So thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Doug. I'm going to turn it over to Hercules, and everybody think about cats. This is Cat Chat signing off.
Thank you very much, Kat, and thank you very much, everybody. This is a wonderful show, and I wish you great success with your venture. I will post the link if you send me one.
We will do so. Thank you so much, Hercules, and everybody. Thank you. It's been a great night.
And thanks to everybody who joined us, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, and we will close with Virginia Ackley's Golden Bough.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Stars in her eyes, and the trees whispered soft words of the wise. Time stood still, and the bees heard her sigh, and they danced to the music of her cries. Lady of moonlight, Lady of Day, golden bough. covered and chilled.